Hello and welcome to Intrepid Heroes Presents, a podcast where we chat about various topics related to role-playing games. I'm John Godek, and with me today is Jenny Jarzabski. So Jenny is a freelance writer and game designer. Her credits include work for Paizo, Kobold Press, Rogue Genius Games, Playground Adventures, Storm Bunny, and Legendary Games. So welcome to the podcast, Jenny.
Thank you. Glad to be here.
So, Jenny, you've recently written a couple of Starfinder Society scenarios along with a couple of Starfinder Adventure Path books. Can you tell us a little bit about your freelance writing journey?
Absolutely. So I started out in RPGs not super young. I wasn't one of those people who started playing as a kid or who started in second edition D&D. And, you know, there's nothing wrong with that either way. But I definitely came into the game late and got really into Pathfinder. That's where I started, of course, and started playing Pathfinder Society locally in Dallas-Fort Worth at their lodge. And I saved up money to go to PaizoCon one year. And I believe it was like 2014, I think, was my first PaizoCon. And of course, I go and I have so much fun and meet all these people. And what I didn't realize was that a lot of the people I just met and became friends with were people who were or were to become freelance authors, developers, things like that. So just over the course of the next few years in having these friendships, as I watched my friends, you know, get into the industry and start writing, I thought, I like writing. Why can't I do that? So I reached out, you know, like many people do, and asked, how do I write for you? How do I get a test or an audition, sort of? And what I was given was, you know, start with third party. So a very nice gentleman that many of you know named Owen Casey Stevens actually gave me the opportunity to do some stat blocks for him for his third party product. And I started doing that. And basically from there, it was history. I got a few big projects under my belt. He was able to pass my name along. I got a quest. And then I just, you know, I kind of got started and it went from there.
Yeah, so you seem pretty prolific of late writing. Do you do writing as part of your normal profession?
So yes and no. I used to be a teacher. I'm retired. I'm retired. Quote from being a teacher. I'm still too young to retire. But currently, I work as a sommelier. So I do wine education, things like that, and I do actually sometimes work on a blog for the wine store that I'm at.
All right. Yeah, I just kind of was wondering where all the writing comes from, because you start as a player and all of a sudden you're doing a little bit of writing and then you're doing a ton of writing, which seems, you know, that's a really fast trajectory, you know, for doing that.
Oh, it is. Right. And it honestly, well, I was just going to say, it honestly kind of surprised me. Like, I'd always had positive feedback and everything, but it's really only in the past year and a half that it's really snowballed to this point. And it's great. I hope it continues because I really enjoy it. It's a lot of fun.
Yeah, no, I think it's great, you know. So, Jenny, recently Paizo announced Starfinder Adventure Path number 31, Walking the World Seed, which is book one of the Devastation arc. Mm-hmm. Can you tell us a little bit about this Adventure Path book that you're writing?
So, without giving any spoilers, of course, a few things I can tell you is I think people who enjoyed my previous Starfinder AP, Signal of Screams, you know, the Penumbra Protocol, you might like it. There's kind of a fun little throwback in the beginning. I'm not going to say what it is. It's funny how that worked out. I don't think anyone planned it. But there's almost a little callback to that. And it's interesting because, as you know, this is a higher level adventure. It's going to take players higher than previous Starfinder APs have gone. And just kind of some general themes are, you know, dealing with an ancient warlike civilization that may not be so ancient or so extinct as we think it is. And just some little tidbits of Pact World's lore are going to show up that I think are going to be unexpected and possibly even shocking to some players. So should definitely check it out.
Yeah. So now, were those things that were the developer put in the outline, or were you kind of given free license to create some new lore for that?
So it's always kind of a balance. some of that, most of it was something the developer called for. And I get a little bit of leeway to come up with details or essentially expand on the idea. And, you know, with some developers I've worked with, it ends up being, we just kind of spitball ideas back and forth and it turns into something we've both brainstormed and we've both created. Whereas some, it's very much, you know, particularly with shorter adventures, it's like a bespoke, like, here, I need you to make this, you know, exactly this way. Here's where you have leeway. You can get silly or creative or weird, but I need, you know, this exact piece to be in the final product. So it does vary. Right. I did have some creative control, but a lot of the major world-changing things did come from Paizo originally. Or they were definitely approved by Paizo for sure.
Right. Right. And you mentioned it kind of ties a little bit back to Signal Screams. So is this a natural kind of follow on to that adventure path, given that where that one ends at level 12 or level 13, I guess, at the final book? Or is it this one designed, it should build attack onto any adventure path that ends at 13?
So that's a great question. It is actually designed to tack onto any adventure path, any Paizo adventure path. There's like in the beginning, just kind of a neat little way to transition from your previous adventure into this one. Or of course, if you've been running a home game and it was completely homebrew, there's, you know, I believe, unless things drastically change, there's some ideas for how to get your party, your players as the GM into that setting and have it make sense. Of course, you could just start there. You could roll up characters, you know, at that level and begin play. But yeah, I think that's one really cool thing about it that Paizo wanted to do with that AP. And I hope to see that in the future if they do more high level play. Because who knows where the players came from? You know, maybe you played Signal of Screams, maybe you played Dead Sons, and you want to keep that going with those characters.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we're actually, our group, that's right now going through Dawn of Flame. We're actually pretty excited to get into this one after that one with this particular group. We've gone through Dead Sons, but that was like our first exposure to Starfinder. And I think, you know, we started playing right when it first came out and none of us really knew what we're doing. And so now having, you know, gone through the second AP, now we're hoping we know a little bit more. So I think these characters will probably carry through. Now that doesn't come out until August though. Is that correct?
I believe so.
Yeah, so like a Gen Con release is what it sounds like. So
yes, it's expected. It says approximately 26th of August of this year. So
yeah, all right. Well, I look forward to that. Can you tell us a little bit about some of the challenges involved with writing some of the first high level content for Starfinder?
It was fun, but it definitely is a challenge because, you know, you play test as much as you possibly can, or, you know, you run those simulations kind of, even if it's just like a friend or a couple friends you can trust not to say anything, and you do your best. But I mean, at the end of the day, you can't always expect every party composition at a table. I think one of the hardest things about Starfinder in terms of design at higher CRs and higher levels is, I think this is actually something Thirsty and I have talked about in relation to other things, that when you have one creature, like one big boss sort of, who's a very challenging encounter for the party, that can be very deadly and it can be unbalanced very quickly. And that only gets worse at higher level play where you have more abilities and, you know, multi-attacks and things like that. So it's definitely intricate and you really have to be careful. And I mean, play testing as much as possible is the ideal because, you know, you can kind of see it in your head, but what really happens when the dice are hitting the table, you know, is the thing.
Yeah, no, for sure. Yeah, you know, some of the higher level things that we had, like the previous special at Gen Con, I GM'd a bunch of players at the 11 to 12 level. So kind of the highest content that we had. And it's just amazing. First of all the things the players can do, but also how much damage and the abilities that the final boss has compared to everybody prior to that. And in this case, it was one big boss, too. It makes for a fun challenge, but it's a long battle. That's the flip side to it.
Definitely.
All right. So you've also written Starfinder Society Scenario 201, Pack World Warriors. Can you tell us a little bit about the inspiration for this very fun scenario, especially with the newly introduced villain, Datch, in that?
Yeah, so Pact Worlds Warriors has been one of my absolute favorite projects so far to work on. So just Pact Worlds Warriors in general, a lot of the inspiration, obviously, if you've played it or read it, comes from just kind of silly things like pop culture references, just me thinking, you know, okay, this is something in our modern world that's kind of quirky or interesting. And, you know, how would this look in a futuristic society that's, you know, also like space magic? It's not, you know, it's not just hard sci-fi. It's like space fantasy. Right. So just kind of getting to play around with that, like the combat cooking element, mm-hmm. you know, I was thinking about all these over the top reality shows and, you know, all that good stuff. So that was a lot of my inspiration, and I really enjoyed it. Now, when I was approached to write this, to write Pack Worlds Warriors, it's Thirsty and I had some talks about it, and he had told me about, he just vaguely, he had this plan for, you know, the second season and how that story arc was going to go and how he wanted it to be a much more personal threat, to the society. Mm-hmm. It wouldn't be some, you know, it wouldn't be the Gin Souls. It wouldn't be some big, scary, you know, xenophobic alien species that is attacking or trying to keep Starfinders from going home from the Scoured Stars. That he wanted this to be a threat that came from within the Pact Worlds, and he wanted it to be a very different kind of threat. And when I said I would write this and we started kicking around the outline and brainstorming, He mentioned this character of Datch, and he told me this is very important that, you know, Datch has to show up, and this is how Datch needs to show up. He gave me some basics, but he did allow me to have a pretty free reign of, you know, character design, a few concept things. So I kind of feel like I got to help, you know, create Datch as a character, which was cool, even though she was obviously Thirsty's idea for a villain. But it was just this idea of this mysterious person who's very polite and very, very professional and businesslike. And, you know, they're great. They're such a wonderful, smiling person. But why is it that they're always there when things go wrong for you? And why do they always seem to be amused at your pain or your misfortunes? And so that's what we, Thirsty and I, as his proxy in writing this, was attempting to create with Datch. And I think it's caught on because from what I've been hearing, everyone really hates her.
Yes, there's you know, a lot of folks talking on the forums, especially last week. You know, Thirsty kind of announced that you would be writing the mm-hmm. next Starfinder Multi-Table Special 300, and that it would be released at Origins, and everyone's saying, oh yeah, I hope Datch is there. I want to, you know, we got to make sure we take care of Datch and all this kind of stuff. Can you tell us about that special? Little bit that you can talk about?
Oh, absolutely. And that is still very much in the works. Actually have the files open on my computer right now. I'm not working on them at the moment, but they are there. So, yes, it is safe to say that you will be encountering Datch at some point in that special, or encountering Datch's minions or works or effects thereof, you know, of her actions. So this will involve that. I feel like that is probably the central conflict of this year of Starfinder. So mm-hmm. We hope that what will happen, among other things, will give a resolution, at least for now, to that story arc.
Okay,
Datch.
Good. So, yeah, some resolution, you know, whether it be that she joins Starfinder Society or something else, right?
Right. Oh, yeah. I mean, you know, I mean, we've seen villains come and go, and we've seen them stick around. I always think about old Grandmaster Torch back in Pathfinder, everyone's favorite. Definitely there will be some sort of resolution, and I believe and you as players will get some influence in what that turns out to be, and that's pretty much all I'll say. I'm not going to talk about encounters and what the circumstances will be, but I really think it's going to be a lot of fun.
Yeah, Thirsty did say it's going to be a 1-8 multi-table, though, so it capping it at 8th level, so just so folks know that. Yeah, I was able to make it to Origins last year to actually play the special for the first time. I'm hoping to make it this year. I have, unfortunately, some personal issues that might prevent that. I have a hotel booked, but I don't know if the timing's going to work out. And that's Origins is a lot of fun. So you've been there before or no?
I've never been to Origins, actually. No. So this will be my first year.
Oh, yeah. Origins is a lot of fun. It's a good size con, but it doesn't have the overwhelming size that Gen Con has. So, yeah, I liked it a lot better than Gen Con, and especially you with the special there, you got to go and check it out. So.
Oh yeah, I have to. Definitely will be there. I'll probably have an apple or two.
All right. So, what advice do you have for people interested in doing freelance writing, especially for Paizo? I mean, you've had such a fast trajectory. I don't think anybody hopes to match that, but just to get started and get going like you have.
Well, like I said earlier, I think one of the biggest things you can do if you don't have any published credits at all, one of the smartest things is to seek out some of these third party people, like Owen with Rogue Genius Games. I mean, there's a bunch of third party publishers, and a lot of them are really awesome people, and they're always looking for someone to write an article or like some stat blocks or something like that. And, you know, unfortunately, they can't always offer you the best pay, but, you know, they generally will compensate you for what you've done. And it's a published credit that you can then, you know, add to your resume, so to speak. I know Wayfinder is another one that a lot of people mention as being kind of a gateway. Obviously, that's they don't pay. That's kind of a free labor of love sort of thing, like a volunteer magazine, but they are always accepting submissions. I submit fiction to them probably, I don't know, like once every year or two. I like to. It's a good vehicle for my like Starfinder or Pathfinder fan fiction, you know. It's just for fun. But I would say that, and just don't be afraid, you know, try to meet people. Like, it's definitely, there is something to be said for networking, but at the same time, it's you don't get the opportunity just because you're friends with people. Because I'm sure, I mean, the people that are choosing, you know, authors, they have a lot of friends, but not all those friends are going to become authors. You know, it's just,
right.
I don't know. I think the more people you're friendly with, like, you'd be surprised. Because when I met Thirsty, that was when he had just started as a freelancer. He was like almost completely not, he wasn't known at all. And now today it's like everybody knows who Thirsty is. And so I don't know, it's just be open to people, you know, be friendly, be professional, seek out these third party publishers. And then for me, I think what the biggest thing has been is, you know, you don't have to be the best, most creative author, but when you get assignments, just even if it's a third party, even if it's like, you know, a quest pack or something, take it seriously, take the deadline seriously, you know, meet the deadline, communicate with your developer. If something is happening and you're, you know, you need to turn it in a couple days late, make sure you're sending that email or making that phone call, because I just know personally that I take that very seriously. And I really think that's one of the main reasons I've gotten so much work. Because I think, you know, the folks at Paizo know that they can rely on me. And if they don't have anything else, they might send it my way because they know, well, at least she's going to turn it in on time and it'll be solid. So at least I hope that's what they think. But anyway, when you get those opportunities, just like really work hard and, you know, treat everything like it's an AP, even if it's just, you know, you did a couple stat blocks for something. I think that's the biggest advice I can give.
So the first thing you did for Starfinder was one of the quest packs?
For Starfinder, no. That was my first thing for Pathfinder.
Oh, for Pathfinder. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
For
PFS. So you'd already done quite a bit for Pathfinder before you started with Starfinder then?
Yes. Okay. Yes, and I actually did. I had never done a Pathfinder AP. I mean, I had written some back matter, like some bestiary creatures and little articles and all that. But I did. I actually do have a PF2 AP volume coming out, and it's why on earth am I? I'm sorry. I'm having a total brain fart. It's the circus AP. Oh, and I have volume 2, and I just, at the moment, for some reason, I can't remember the title. It's terrible. But I had never actually, I'd done a couple of Pathfinder Society scenarios after that quest, but I had never done an AP until Starfinder. So.
Wow. Yeah.
Yeah.
So that's really cool to see that kind of switch over and everything. So what's next for you? You know, what's on your plate that you can talk about?
Well, that I can talk about, not really a whole lot, other than working on the special, and that is honestly taking a lot of my focus. I've set aside, you know, some time to really focus on that and try to make it the best it can be. I feel a lot of pressure for that, to make it fun for everyone and make it still, you know, balanced. And I don't want to kill everyone at their table, but I don't want it to be easy. And, you know, right. I'm really focused on that, but not really sure what'll come next in terms of game writing, but I am, I might actually be making my attempt at a novel finally. So we'll see how that goes, but
yeah. What genre is that going to be in?
It would be sci-fi.
Sci-fi. Excellent. Yes. Excellent. Well, look forward to that. That'll be a lot of fun.
Yeah.
Well, Jenny, thanks so much for joining us on the podcast today. I look forward to seeing you again at a convention. We met at SkullCon last year. I don't know if I'll make it to Origins. Are there other conventions you'll be at besides Origins this year?
With any luck, I will be at Gen Con as well, even if it's just for a couple of days, just to kind of be around and say hi and all that. And I hopefully will be at SkullCon again this year, but that remains to be seen. I've got some personal things going on, good things, but just have to set aside time for that.
Well, thanks again. I really appreciate it.
Yes. Thank you so much for having me.